Well, this morning, we're going to look at the area, and we're going to look at a little illustration then, but first I'm going to lay some groundwork and some things I want to talk about. I was going to speak on a certain thing, but the Lord told me to lay some groundwork before we do, because of dealing in the areas with demons or whatever, we're going to deal with healing and those things. We're emphasizing healing, but understand the principles of faith and operating in these areas work in other areas. We need to be careful, because I saw this in the kingdom, and I had to learn as I went along. I listened to teaching on things, and I sort of categorized teaching, like you had the teaching of faith, and you have the teaching of this and that and the other thing, and teaching of love and that stuff. And somehow they were all different subjects, but we need to understand, actually they're not, because they all tie together. You know, faith works by love. You know, also, you know, in there we could teach on joy. Well, number one, if you don't have joy, your faith ain't working. So, because you ain't in faith. Hallelujah. If you thought God gave you something, you'd get excited. But, you know, we need to understand how they tie together. And this is one of the things we want to look at this morning, of how things, tie together, in especially in ministry. If we're going to, for ourselves, we want to walk in light, and walk in the life of God in our own personal life. And whenever we want to minister to others, if we're going to follow the ministry of Jesus, let's follow the ministry of Jesus. Let's not follow our religious ideas and teachings and things and stuff going on. Follow the latest book that came out and what they're saying and that stuff. Make sure that the Word of God is teaching it. Number one, faith comes by hearing the Word. Faith don't come any other way than that, by hearing. That's how it comes. It comes by, that's why God, we have in Ephesians, he put preachers out there. He put preach people, so they preach the word. Romans tells us, you know, preach the word, that's how people come to faith. So in other words, faith comes by hearing words. You know, you can read words in the Bible, but I'm going to tell you, if they don't become part of your living and talking, it don't matter what you know. You have, there's most Christians are informational people, not revelational. They're informational. They don't walk around and talk the Bible. They know a lot of things the Bible says, but they're not, that's not their way of talking in life. That's not the things that they're saying. They're not laying things out for their future. You know, we get people talking about all the problems. Boy, you get people talking to drop a hat, talk about how bad things are. My, you get Christians who just get all over that. You start talking the Bible and you ask them to quote a scripture and they start stuttering. They don't know the Bible. Well, they know the problems. They say, well, yeah, God wants to help us. Well, if he wants to help us, number one, I don't care how much God wants to help me, I have to know how to cooperate so he can.
Amen.
No matter whether God wants to help you, you may never get any help. You get help by learning how to cooperate so God can give you the help, hallelujah, that you need. And you might find out he's already given you help and you just didn't know about it. And so you're not cooperating with it. But faith comes by hearing the word. And I want you to get this, because we're going to look first at Mark. This doesn't seem to go in the direction that we're going to have been in. But we want to look at this in Mark, the fourth chapter. We're going to look at something here. This is that layout first. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Because what it did, it was Jesus gave the parable of the sower. He gave the parable of the sower to the people. Now, we want to find out what happened after that took place. What happened, and we find out and get a wonderful revelation. We've talked about these things before, but the Holy Spirit wants to keep reminding about this, because people slip away from things. Because over the years, the idea is, let me put it this way. I've taught in Bible schools numbers of years in my lifetime at different Bible schools. And I found this out. When people teach about Jesus, they talk about how wonderful a teacher he was, and they don't understand that he didn't teach nothing like Jesus did. People don't teach. The way they talked about Jesus, how he explained everything, he didn't. See, they talk about, you want to be a teacher like Jesus? You know what? Jesus did not give everybody everything they needed to know. He didn't do that. And we want to look at an instant here, because he gave the parable of the sower. Now, a parable is just this. We use the word, we could say he gave the story, and really it's a story he told. It was more or less an outline of a story is what he told. And he told, and he just talked about planting and seeds and all that stuff, and most all those people to know what he's talking about, because during that time, most people, that's how they got their food and everything. They're growing stuff. That's how they did it. They weren't manufacturing. You know, they didn't work down at the steel mill. they didn't, you know, they weren't fixing cars. They weren't doing those things. Somebody sure was probably fixed a chariot or something, but they weren't going around, you know, not everybody was running around in chariots and horses. So, but we need to understand what's going on. And Jesus, in verse 9 of chapter 4, it says this, and he said to them, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." This was the last thing that he said to the multitude that was there. This is the last statement he made to him. "He who has an ear, let him hear." Well, what does that mean? Well, it means this. Everybody don't have ears to hear.
Amen. Preach.
Everybody's not hearing. I can tell you this with a fact. I've had over the years of teaching, and people have sat under my teaching in the areas of certain things and that stuff. And after years, they came up with a problem in an area, and you'd have never thought they had ever sat under my teaching. You'd have never thought they ever sat under. Why? They never heard it. Just because you're sitting here today doesn't mean you're hearing a thing.
Amen. Preach.
You need to understand. We're not hearing. Do you know when you don't understand? If you don't, you're in trouble. If you're hearing stuff and you think you're, but yet you go to apply it and it don't work, you didn't hear it. You don't know it. If you can't get it to work, you don't know it. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody goes through things, but you have to, there's a fix to it. Admit you don't know and then ask to find out.
Amen.
Now, here's what happens. Jesus says, but when he was alone, in other words, now they get alone, he's alone, he says, those around him with the 12 ask him about the parable. What is this? This story. We don't know about the story he told. The ones that are around him, in other words, Jesus had more than the 12 disciples. He had others, people who followed after him. And you know what? They came to him, and you know what? They didn't know what it meant. Why? They weren't supposed to know what it meant. Nobody was supposed to know what it meant. Oh. You see, we have this idea today, is one of the things that we have, why education levels are dropping so little in our school systems and everything, colleges, and they're dropping low, because we don't require people to use their brains. We try to give them everything learned so they don't ever have to use their brain. All they have to do is be informational people. Informational people never amount to much. You won't find a scientist who's good who's an informational person. Never. You won't find an auto mechanic that's any good that only got information.
That's right.
If he don't know how to apply it, he don't know how it works, either. It don't matter. I work with a guy like that. He could tell you specs on engines of cars and tells you all kinds of things, but didn't know squat about working on them. Ask him one time about a thing of working on it. He said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know what you do to take care of it." I said, "You read all these books and you don't know nothing. All you got, you can tell me about pistons and stuff, but you, other than putting gas in your car, that's all you can do." See, I'm not interested in the guy who knows a lot. I'm interested in the guy who can do a lot. That's the guy I want to meet. Because if I have a question, he'll know how to do it. He can tell me how to do it. That's the guy I'm after. And I want to know the guy. Maybe he don't know everything, but he knows where to get the answer. Information people, lots of times, don't even know where to get the answer. They just have to wait till somebody comes along and gives it to them, because they don't know how to search, they don't know how to look. So they came to him and they want to know about it. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things are in parables." What are you talking about outside? He said, you guys, it's given for you to learn. Are these special people and they'll get to know it, nobody else is allowed to know? Is that what he's trying to tell them there? No, they came and asked. They came and asked him. He said, it's for you to know. Why? These people that came to Jesus' meetings, they wanted what he had, but they weren't in a search for anything. You know, I want my problem fixed. See, I watch this radio that's go to meetings, and a lot of people go, like, see, these big name meetings, big ministers at meetings, they go to those meetings, and it's to get something there, and not really, they're not looking for revelation, they're not looking for learning. You know, I need my problem fixed. I need this, if I get that fixed. You get your problem fixed, and you'll never see them at a meeting again. No, I'm just going to get my problem fixed. No, I'm going to tell you what, I want to change life. I don't want to just see my problem fixed. I want to know how to keep it fixed.
Amen.
Anybody that gets healed by a gift of the Spirit don't mean they know a thing about healing. God healed them. But they don't, not by their faith, so that don't mean they know a thing about faith. Don't mean they know nothing. God was just kind and healed them. It was a gift of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit go into operation, people get healed. There's no faith involved in it. It isn't about the person's faith. Your problem might have got fixed, but don't be surprised. Something worse come on you. Because if you don't know how to keep the devil off you, he'll come visit you often.
Amen. Preach.
You must learn these things. So he said, but to those the outside things are in parables. In other words, I'm just telling them stories. So that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may not hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? He said, how then will you understand all the parables? In other words, the key to all the stories that Jesus tell, he's going to tell them this parable or this story answers the questions to all parables. Huh. Then, what is it? Well, I tell you, we don't have to read the whole parable to know it. It's the beginning statement. The sower sows the word. Words is what the kingdom of God is built on. Words. God's whole system, the spirit realm, operates off of words. Words believed and words said. How did God create the earth? He didn't sit down and write a book. He didn't put a manual. God spoke. That's what he did. We need to understand, words are the key to the whole thing. If you don't understand, you can't guard your mouth. You ain't got a clue how the kingdom works. You can't work it. It is work through the mouth. What man believes in his heart and he says with his mouth. This is the key to it all. It's a hard thing for people to grasp. You know, people get over the, these confession people. You better get to be a confession because you are confessing junk or something good. But one way or the other, quit asking people. If you're talking junk, quit trying to get other people to lay their hands on your empty head to try to get rid of your junk. It's good preaching, I'll tell you what. You know, we have too much of everybody's sweet and everybody's good and we're just all nice. It ain't working, folks. We need to get down to it. You know, God deals with me about me. He don't say, well, you know, I'm just going to wave the wand. I'm going to fix stuff for you. No, Ed, you know, if it's wrong, we need to know this. If we don't get over this area and understand words are sown, those words will produce.
Amen.
The seeds had nothing to do that he talked about their physical seeds in the ground. He's talking about words that we're planting all the time out here. Those words. What happens when the guy with the shallow guy, he was shallow in his words. His words didn't mean nothing much. And the devil came and stole them right out. He just talked. I've been in meetings and sometimes I'll do it. I'll say to you folks, say these certain things after me. Well, certain people, they're just saying words. It's nothing of any meaning. They're just saying these words. They walk out the door of the church. I've had people over the years sometimes, like I've even been shocked sometimes of people like I know over the years of ministry and stuff and things. And say some of the most shocking things to me. And I think, my God, like I've had Rhema students that have graduated. And I think, did they ever listen in class ever the whole time they were there? Stuff that comes out of their mouths. It's like, what on earth? Why are they talking like that? And then they'll ask you, pray for you. Well, I can't pray for your problem. It ain't ever going away till we get you to shut up and say the right thing. We can't get it stopped. You know, excuse me, I'm going to keep shooting myself in the foot, but let's pray God to heal it. Say, could you give me another clip, please? People do that in their lives. People do things to hurt themselves, yet they want the things fixed, but continue to do what they're doing. And we need to understand this, what people hear. This is why it's today. It's one of the things that we need to understand. There's something wrong with being what's taught in our school systems today because of the outcome. The outcome's coming from words that are being taught. Words that are being said. Words are teaching certain things and telling people things, and they're not right. They don't work in the natural realm. You know, you can read, books on socialism, communism, and all that kind of stuff. They have wonderful ideas in those books, but they've never worked in any country. But see, people don't look at outcome. Let's hear something good. Somebody's going to take care of me and I don't have to take care of myself. Don't that sound wonderful? You know, the people that work are going to take their stuff and give it to me. That's what socialism is. Socialism has to take from the worker to give to the guy that don't work, because the government can't get money any other way. He can't get it from the guy that don't work or the guy that don't produce hardly anything. Where's he going to get his money from? See, we have I watch socialism over there get in the church. I watch faith, so-called faith people. They're always very sympathetic toward the poor people. Well, they just can't give, they're poor. Well, I'm going to starve, they're going to stay poor. And you're their problem. You know, when Wanda and I started off, we were very tight in money. God didn't tell Ed not to give.
Amen.
God dealt with me about giving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you what, when I found out how that thing worked, man, I was after it.
Amen. Amen.
See, people need to get, if you're listening to the wrong things, you're listening to the wrong people. We have today is how to keep people poor, how to keep giving them everything that they don't earn. Hey, I believe in helping people, but you don't take over taking care of them. You don't do it. You don't do it. You don't do it because I'm going to tell you what. You and the devil are in cahoots.
Mm-hmm.
Working to keep that person on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That you become their God. See, I've heard, I don't know how many, why do you do what you do and you're giving and helping people this time? Well, it makes me feel good. They could care less about that individual. What makes me feel good? It's all about me. I got to end up in life me feeling good. You know, sometimes doing right don't feel good. It don't feel good to do right. And I'll tell you, people won't treat you right because you do right. That'll sure happen. But I want you to get this idea about the word thing. These people had a problem, and their problem was this. Because there is a foundational principle, again, in Scripture. It is this. And you better get this. This needs to become one of your foundation scriptures. From Matthew, the 7th chapter, it's also Luke also says about it, but Matthew 7 and verse 7 and 8 says this, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and every who seeks finds, and he who knocks it will be opened. If people, why didn't those people learn? Because, why didn't they know? They didn't ask. Who are the ones who got the answer? The askers. If you're not seeking, you're not going to know. God may show you something in Scripture, and you might sit wondering, what's that? You might hear a message preached and thinking, well, you know, I don't grab it. Well, are you asking God about it, trying to find it? Are you seeking to find what it's? What is that really about?
Yes, sir.
No, Pastor, you go study it real good and tell me. Should I tell you what? You need to understand this. There will no revelation come to you but by the Holy Spirit. I will never be able to explain it well enough to you.
Amen.
I'm not supposed to. You've got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit in you. If the Holy Spirit's not revealing, I don't care if you heard the best teaching in the world. If He ain't showing it to you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, I always get these people, they want a special teaching when they get into trouble and don't come to church and don't do that. Then they want Ed to give them a special teaching and a prayer. And I always tell them, Sunday mornings you come to church, we'll talk about it. You don't? There's no point. You're not a seeker. The Holy Ghost ain't going to show you nothing.
Amen.
We keep trying to give people what they can't see and get. We don't demand nothing of them, you know? You know, people want a degree in spirituality without sitting and listening to teaching. You know, you just go online, you can buy yourself a degree.
Amen.
That's right. Dude, I can go online, $100, and get credentials that I'm a minister. You don't need a calling. All's money, because money talks, nobody walks. And it's all about money. That's where it comes from. But see, if you don't have time to seek, God's not on the top of your list.
Amen.
I'm just being blunt.
Yep, great preaching. Yeah. Great preaching.
You don't have time to seek. See, we got all this busy junk and stuff, and then we talk about, you know, we love the Lord. That's like me so busy, I can't be around my wife, and I can't say, but I love her. Well, convince her of that. It's like, dear God. See, we have so much from a natural perspective of things. We need to understand God will explain himself to those seeking him. Listen to this principle. See, I like James. I really like James, the book. Because see, James don't sweet talk.
Nope.
I love him. He says, you know, he'll have either Ed, you're a jerk. You don't need me to do this. You know, that's the way I see it. Sometimes I think, oh dear God, I got to listen to that. I just, you know, James told me, you know. But James said this: you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you.
Amen.
He don't say God's going to draw near to you. You hear all these things. People talk. They use that. The parable or the story about the prodigal son and make all these wonderful sermons like God's chasing after you and he is not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that, that father did not draw near to that son till that son drew near to him?
That's right.
Huh! I hear preachers preach stuff out of that stuff and I think they preach socialistic Christianity and ain't Bible. No, if that kid had not come. Now, you know, the father gave both sons their inheritance. He didn't give the other kid another inheritance. The father just had him, he could live off of there at the place where his father was, but he didn't give him another inheritance. He blew his.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness don't mean everything gets fixed.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
There's no point in walking close with God if you can get everything fixed and live like hell. There's a price to pay. See, we don't teach people that. We have all these nice little things. It's not according to the word. It's not according. You got to draw near to God. You don't yell at him from a distance, say, fix my problem. I like it over here. Hey, I like living out here in this land. I like this land of sin out here. Fix me over here. Take care of me. Call the prayer chain. Oh, we'll pray for you. See, no, your call will cast the devil out of you and tell you to get right with God. And then we'll pray for you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But see, we've used technology and things to have ministries that are really not dealing with people at all. They don't deal with people. They don't deal with their problems or situations. Why? We're just going to trust God and take care of all these problems. Has it worked? Has Christianity got better with technology? All the TV and all the stuff, all the satellites, has it gotten better? No, it hasn't. Do you know what I found? Still works. The seeker does good, and the guy that don't seek, don't.
That's right.
The guy who seeks after God and wants after God hears from God. The guy
Amen.
Who doesn't.
Amen. Great.
Ain't no satellite makes any of that work.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Why? It don't change. The principles don't change. Technology does not change the Word of God. How it works.
Amen.
We've used technology to make people lazy. We have not made people seekers with technology. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell you, there's anointings you will never receive in your life watching ministries on TV.
Amen.
That you'll have to go sit in a meeting and sit there.
Mm-hmm.
I know, God's done it with me. He wants to give me anointing. More than one time he's done it. Told me, you go to that meeting. There's something I have for you there. Why? It's there at that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there watching it on television.
Amen. Great preaching.
You're not going to get the same. You're not going to get the same. You're not going to have the same. We need to understand. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. See, this is one of the things why I go to meetings, go sit down in meetings. I spend a lot of money because the money's worth every penny of it. We don't. We're going to save money watching television, have the cable, have satellite.
Amen.
We're saving our money. We can see it all free now. You know, we don't have to invest in going after God. Nope. Still requires seeking. That word seek means looking for something that's lost.
Amen.
So it isn't a casual look.
So
we need to understand this. Now I want to go over there because of this word stuff. We're talking all this because of dealing with demonic powers. We want to talk about this. With dealing with demonic powers, we're not going to be able to deal with them if we're not yielded to God.
Amen.
You're not going to do that. Dealing with demonic, and we're in a bad trouble in America today. Loads and loads of demons in operation. Demons doing all kind of stuff. And Christians aren't having any better success lots of times than the world. Generally speaking, they're not. No more success. Why? Well, I want to know why. I'm interested why. What makes the difference? I remember Kenneth Hagin made a statement. I don't know when I heard him probably back in the 1980s sometimes when he made this statement. And he had done this previously before that time. He had said he had asked the Lord. And this was like, I don't know, it was back in the 50s or something like that. He had asked the Lord. Why? He said, there seems to be so much more sickness among Christians today than there was before. He said, we didn't have all this stuff. What's going on? Why? And the Lord spoke to him and said, yes, and people lived more holy lives. They were more separated to God.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to understand that. There's a thing about us in our doing, of what we do in our lives of being separated to God. There's a lot of the world in the church today, in our thinking and in our talking and in our things. There's a lot of things about that. And what is God wants us to be able to deal with this thing because we have so much today said in quotes, Christianity, which is not Christian. There's much of a made up Christianity. It's made up of things of truths from the Bible, but it's no different than the scribes and the Pharisees had. They took the law and added some 20,000 laws in the Torah to make up things that explain what God was trying to say. And they made 20,000 other laws, and that's what Jesus dealt with him. You've made the word of God of no effect. See, the word of God today in much of Christianity has no effect. It has zero effect because of odd beliefs and things that are talked as if it's Christianity. Now, I'm not trying to be hard on anybody or anything. What I'm just saying is if things aren't working. Now, if back in the 50s, Kenneth Hagin thought that there was a lot of sickness going on, what must he have thought when he left this earth in 2003? Because it runs rampant in the church world. I mean, you go to a big meeting, like say these big meetings. At one time years ago, when you went to big healing meetings and stuff they had, years past, they would be loaded with sinners would come about getting healing. Not today. The sinners couldn't get in line because there's 2 million Christians standing in front of them trying to get healed. Now, I'm not knocking people. But see, I have questions. Why? See, I want to know. I don't know. This thing is, we need a move of God. What for? Do I need a move of God because I can't get the things of God? Well, then, to me, it's like, Ed, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? See, my personal life, I don't have to wait for a move of God to have a move of God. I can have one in my life if I want to.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I can have one in my life. I don't have to wait. Moves of God come for people who can't have a move of God.
Amen.
Who can't make one. And so we can, but I need to, what's wrong with me? Well, see, one thing is I learned, Ed has not arrived because there's things I look and I thought, well, Lord, there's things I don't know about because things aren't going the way they should according to the Word. Where are we missing it? I desire to know. See, I'm an asker and a seeker about this stuff. People don't get answers and seekers today. Ministers don't find out answers to people's problems because all we do is we have, you know, our regular services that we just go through the same teachings year after year, telling you you're wonderful and you got it made and God's going to just take care of everything when it ain't working for you. People need to know why. You need to start asking questions yourself. Not looking for God to tell Ed to figure out the questions you need to ask. You need to be able to look and say, look, this is what the Bible says, and I don't have that.
Amen.
The Bible says I'm supposed to be at peace and rest, and I ain't got none. What's wrong with it?
Amen.
Why don't I have joy? What is wrong? Well, it's not God's problem. God provided it for me. Well, what do I need to know? What do I need to do? See, I can't lose my joy just because problems are around and things are bad. Because why? It'll destroy your faith. You cannot. Your faith has to be to maintain your joy, or you've lost faith. But when I found out, well, Ed, you're not really walking over the areas of faith. You've got to get yourself back over in the areas where you're trusting God and not looking at the situations around you to work always on your behalf to keep you happy. See, this is, you know, I've seen this, people getting married. People get married and they think it's the other person's job to keep them happy. My job is not to keep Wanda happy. If she can't stay happy, she needs to get saved.
Amen. Preach.
And it ain't her job to keep me happy.
Preach.
Ed needs to get saved. If he can't get happy, he don't know enough about the Bible to love somebody who might be giving you a hard time.
Amen. Great preacher.
Woo!
Great preacher.
It is. But see, we don't deal with us. You know what? If they'd straighten out, everything would work out good. I'm sorry. You ain't getting happy if they got fixed. You'd find something else to complain about.
Amen.
Another reason why you can't be happy. You see, God has dealt with me personally about these things, about, you know, dealing with relationships. It's like, you know, I said before, working for a boss who really ain't treating you right and doing what's right and how to try to keep, because I just wanted to be, I'd go to work mad all the time. I'm in Bible school and going to work mad all the time. But you know what? If God didn't change Ed's stinking thinking, it would have never changed. God started dealing me with what was true, not with what was happening. What was true. What you need answers to what is true, not what's happening to you. What's happening to you may never change. But what is true can change everything for you. That's what we want to have. See, this is not to hurt anybody. It's to help us.
Amen. Great preaching.
What is going on around you, see, we don't want that to guide and lead our life. What's happening around you? You know, if you let, you know, you'd think Jesus, if he wouldn't have, you know, if all the things that happened to him, you'd think he'd have thrown a towel in and said, let these people just go to hell, these morons, these idiots. I've got here trying to do this for them. And they're just giving me trouble. How does he enjoy it? And how does he maintain just to walk and keep doing the will of God? How does he maintain it to do it? Well, there has to be a way to do it. People say walk as he walked, but nobody expects to do that. Why? The expectation of the church is not to walk like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, he was the Son of God. Yeah, he was, but he became a man. And if you can't walk as he did, then therefore his walk is worthless. Let's tear the Bible up and go do something else.
Amen. Preach.
And you know what? For most of the church, they might as well tear the Bible up and go do something else because they've been doing the something else. But they keep faking the Bible thing.
Great preaching.
It's like, no, the Bible's true, and if Ed's wrong, it's Ed's wrong.
Amen.
God ain't wrong.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we all want to arrive at a place. Well, we want to look at Matthew, the 12th chapter. We're going to look here at some things. And what I'm going to start off, we want to look at this in its context. This is what, if I go back about 30 years ago, the Lord spoke to me one time and he said to me, I want you to start reading the New Testament. I want you to read the letters and the Gospels, but read them. Read the letters like it's a red or litten. Don't look at any of the numbers on the verses, and don't look at any chapters. It was a letter written. There was no verses nor chapters. Letters were written. The reason they put chapters and verses was for study purpose, so you could find things. They could say, you know, you go look at such and such and such, such chapter, such, such a verse. You could go over and find things. But it wasn't written like that. Jesus' teachings, and Jesus many times, we're going to read things today that people took sections out and taught them, but they never read them in context, so therefore revelation was not given. You can't see certain revelations because we don't read them. We never read them to get the context. What was Jesus trying to say? We have, you know, Jesus said this, and you'll look and have a heading on it in your Bible. Did you ever see that? They throw those little headings in here. You know, loads of those headings should not be at the spots they're in. Shouldn't be there. You know, I don't pay no attention to headings and what they say is going on in the Bible. I don't pay no attention to it. I don't even pay a lot of attention to what they put their little notations in there for. I don't pay any attention to them. Why? What's this? I want the Holy Ghost to teach me. It's not a matter of listening to somebody teach you what they have to say, but you got to learn to listen to the Holy Ghost and let Him teach you.
Amen.
We keep trying to get everything directly from a man. See, the Holy Ghost is really real to me.
Amen.
I run into Him every day. I'll tell you, I can't get into the Bible when He don't show me something and shows me, and I think, oh, wow, that's really neat. I knew some of that, but now, hey, that's really good.
Amen.
If you don't run into that, you don't know my Holy Ghost.
Amen. Preach. Thank
that's the way Lord. He is. He's a light giver. Hallelujah. And Ed definitely needs light. I'll tell you, because my batteries run low a lot in my flashlight. It don't work too well. Hallelujah. But His works very well, and
Amen.
He brings light. Now, we're going to start in chapter 12, verse 22, and it says, then one was brought to Him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and He healed him, so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitude was amazed and said, could this be the Son of David? Now, I want you to see this. Is God is giving revelation. People are asking a question. Isn't this interesting? The Pharisees don't ever ask this question. This question, is He the Son of David? In other words, they're asking, is He the Messiah? That's the Son of David that they were looking for. He's the one of David's offspring is going to turn around. He's going to be the Messiah. The crowd is asking, hey, is this guy the Messiah? Is this the one? And the Pharisees, listen to their reply. See, don't you think any of your religious leaders today, people think you know too much. I'm amazed how dumb some of them are. You know what? And what's really shameful? Some of them used to be not this dumb, but they have got over into the natural, and what they have known has been taken away from them. Jesus said that would happen to people.
Amen.
What they even know has been taken from them.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we need to... God don't turn around and just, you know... He don't give pearls to swine. You might start off being on the top, and you can end up a swine.
Amen. Great preaching. Amen.
You don't want to go there. See, we want to stay on the top. So people ask, hey, is this the Son of David? Now, when the Pharisees heard this, they said, now all of a sudden they heard this. Now here comes these boys. Here's the religious leader. Now you need to understand, these were the word people of the day. These were the faith. These are the people. Oh, there's a stickler on the law, you know. Boy, the word, you got to do it. This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. So Jesus makes a statement. In other words, we know this guy says he healed him, but there was a demon involved and Jesus dealt with that demon. Again, we have a person who's delivered from a demon and then healed. So many times it can go like that, where a person, there must be a demon dealt with before a person can be healed of whatever it is a problem. There's something reinforcing that. Sometimes a demon leaves concerning Scripture and the whole thing just changes. But see, this is why you can't write a canned book on how everything works. This is this thing, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You got to learn to listen, you know. You learn to listen. And so... But they turn around and say, no, this guy's casting out devils by devils. And Jesus said, a kingdom that divides itself of all. He said, if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come to you. He said, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder the house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Now we're going to stop there for now. What Jesus get done said, demons don't cast out demons. See, I've heard the most crazy things taught in churches and said by ministers. You know, well, you know, things happen. They say, well, the devil was doing that. You know, the devil. We'll talk about the fact of devil and devil healing. I've heard people talk about the devil healing. Now, I was involved in sorcery, and you know what? I didn't find that sorcery people were ever trying to heal people. I didn't ever find none of that. That wasn't their doctrine. You know what? You can go to all these kind of different... How many places out here do you see a devil worshiper out here having healing meetings? Churches preach it like it would. Yeah, well, the devil heals. You know what? We don't have one place in Scripture where God said the devil heals, yet the church preaches that it does. And we're going to find out that, I'm going to find out that it's never said. Men say it. Men's interpretation of Scriptures. Jesus says here, look, the devil don't cast out devils. He said he'd be stupid. Is he going to go against his own thing? Is the devil doing good? Oh, sometimes he does good. So the devil does nothing good. He'll do something to you that might seem like you think is good. It is to turn around you and drag you into the ditch further.
Amen. Preach. Great preacher.
He ain't doing anything good. See, this is one of the things. If the devil can get you over to believing this kind of teaching, what happens is this. You'll be skeptical about healing. It'll hurt your faith. I don't ever listen to preachers who make my faith skeptical on areas. I don't listen to them. They might be nice people, well-meaning, but I don't listen to them because I tell you what, I have enough working on my faith without having, you know, I can have the devil personally give me a hard time. I don't have to pay a preacher to do it. Be careful. Jesus said, be careful how you hear.
Amen.
He also said, be careful what you hear.
Amen.
See, just don't let people preach stuff into your ears.
Amen.
The devil's no good. God's good. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, the devil don't cast out the devil. Preachers say he does.
Yep.
I mean, it's pretty clear what Jesus is saying here. I don't have to get an interpreter in the house to get that one done. Pretty clear. The devil ain't casting out the devil. But it's believed in the church world. It's believed in areas of the church world. Now, we want to go on to him dealing because he clarifies more stuff. One of the things he goes on here, because see, when we follow the text and go the whole way through and do textual teaching on what Jesus, see, this isn't where it ends. Jesus went on from there and spoke other things that were all tied to what started this whole thing off. And we can learn some things because we're going to find out that there's things that he clears up on other things that are said, but when they're taken out of their context and used, many times they're taught some ways that are not exactly correct. But we read him in their text because he's still talking. First of what he says. Now this is Jesus. He's talking the same thing. He says, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this age or in the age to come. Now we want to see this. Jesus made a statement here that's rather incredible. He talked about blasphemy. Now, I want you to say this about blasphemy. Blasphemy means this. You're speaking something against God. But understand it must be, understand the context of it. You may hear somebody say something that is against God, and you might say they're blaspheming God, but not unless they didn't have knowledge of it. See, if somebody believes a certain thing's true, and they make a statement about God, and you might say, well, that's not right. Well, they didn't blaspheme. They actually thought what they were saying is right. You know, there's Christians who don't know. If you go over reading 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, dealing with the areas of tongues, Paul deals with how you deal with people who come into the church who have this tongue problem. They don't understand it. He said there's two types of people that come in. He said the unbeliever and the unlearned. Who was the unlearned? It was a Christian that didn't know about it, didn't understand it. See, we have a lot of people who say things really that are against God and against what God says, but they're unlearned. They don't know no better. They're just dumb. But I'm going to tell you what. See, what Jesus is kind of dealing with these people on is because these guys know. If the Lord permits me, we're going to go over to other scriptures as we go along in teaching in this area, and I want to show you what the Pharisees were teaching and then what they were telling the people, and then when Jesus would move and they would start speaking crosswise of their own teaching, trying to discredit him. They were openly lying. They even got called on it by a person. We'll look at a person who called them on it, and they got mad and threw him out of the synagogue because he caught them in the middle of their lies, what they were saying about Jesus. This is knowingly, and that's what these guys were doing. They knowingly knew that the devil did not cast out the devil. They knew it. This is not a mistake. If these guys didn't know that, they were teaching that, why in their own teaching they didn't believe that? And they made that statement just to discredit, because their hatred for Jesus. Why? Because he's smarter and brighter than them and doing more than they could ever do. And you can, boy, you get around religious people, don't ever try to do more than they can do because they're more holy than you. Oh, no. We'll throw you under the bus in a minute, you know. And we'll lie, cheat, and steal. I have been around and I have seen religious people literally lie and say things and do stuff to discredit somebody because they were upset that person was being used more by God than they were. Been around it. Seen ministers do it. I've been around the block a couple times. I've seen more than I wanted to see. I've heard more than I wanted to hear. I've been around ministers who preach wonderful and good stuff, don't live it at all themselves. And people just shove them money all the time. Because people are moved by what they see and what's going on. Looks great, looks wonderful. Yes, must be God. Okay, we'll go on. Now, this is why he said, now I want you to understand this. Now, the thing talks about this age and the age to come. There could be that this could be speaking to two different things, in this age or in the age to come. Jesus could be talking about in the age of the law, which they were in. Because there's the age of grace coming. There's a new age coming. It's grace. He said, even in the areas of grace, you won't get forgiven if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. If you declare that the Holy Spirit is doing something evil and not doing something right, and you declare the works of the Holy Spirit as being of the devil, you won't be forgiven of it by the Holy Spirit. He'll never forgive you. You can't buy. See, it's one thing in ignorance to do it, but if a person does it by knowledge, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth, what you say. You know, we don't want to, you're not just trying, we're not trying, you know, I see this sometimes, and every group has them, whether you're spirit-filled or whatever you are. Sometimes people try to put down the other group, another group, just because they don't like some of the stuff that they do. And, you know, all of them have certain things about God they know. And there's some. There's one thing is I've always said this. Like the Mennonites and them know a lot more about raising kids than spirit-filled people do. We can learn some things over there about raising kids. You know, spirit-filled people done a terrible job. In general, they haven't done good. And so we need to understand there's problems in these areas. People, so some people know stuff. So you can't throw everything out with them. There's certain things they know in life that they're good at, you know. And just because, you know, we understood, believe in healing and that stuff and things and that don't make me special. I would have never known that if it wouldn't be for God revealing to me. I never even had that one. Jesus went on to make this statement. We got to get this because this is an important thing. Here we have this incident takes place. And so he's going to turn around because now he's going to clarify more about what produces what. He goes on and he says, either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Now here he goes. He tells us about trees and fruit. What's he trying to say? This trees and fruit. Well, let's back up what he's talking about. He's looking out here. He's ministered. They have spoken against this. See, it's about what happened? This all has happened because of words spoken. People spoke words and said, hey, is this the Son of God? Is this the Son of David? Maybe this is the Messiah? Words are spoken. The Pharisees, we got to stop them from believing those words. We got to stop them. That's the devil. That's the devil. Words spoken. Jesus comes along and he's saying about, concerning these guys, what is he saying? You look at the fruit. You can tell what people are producing by the fruit.
Amen.
By the fruit. What's being produced? What's being said? See, this is one of the things. See, he's still on the word thing. We're going to find out. It's about the word thing. What are you saying? See, they're saying bad stuff. They're saying things that they can't get forgiven for. The Holy Spirit will not forgive them. Think about that. Word said. Then he turns around. He said, hold it. This tree produces fruit. In other words, a good tree, a human, a person who's doing good is going to produce good things with their lips and what they're saying and doing.
Amen.
We're not producing evil with our words.
Amen.
It's the fruit of what everything operates like this. Everything. So you don't necessarily hear people teach this from this standpoint. But see, this is what the whole thing is about. This whole thing has been going on because the word's spoken. And Jesus is dealing this whole mess is because people ain't guarding their words, ain't watching their words. And it's put him into some deep trouble here. So he teaches us. He says to them, brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart the mouth speaks.
Amen.
Jesus talked about guarding your heart. And I want you to say this. You need to learn to guard your heart. How do you do that? By what you listen to and what you say. You're always going to hear things that aren't right. You can't stop that. You know, you can never stop the devil from talking to you. You can quit listening to him. But you can't stop him from talking. He's going to say things and he's going to say things. People are going to say things to you that aren't right.
Amen.
Things are going to happen from that standpoint. What are you? Are you guarding yourself from those? How do you do it? You guard yourself from words. But you can't walk around and just guard yourself. Say, I'm not going to say that. You have to get your voice. You have to have a voice speaking things. Faith can't get into your heart without voice. Do you hear that? Faith comes by hearing. Faith is of the heart. It's by voice. How do you protect your heart? By saying the right stuff. Speaking the right things. When voices come and talk contrary to what is right and to good and what the Bible says, you speak what's right, what's good. You say, why? You reinforce in yourself.
Amen.
Why? Because it's going to be the fruit bearer. Being silent produces nothing. Well, you're better off being silent than saying something dumb. But you're going to have to say things. You might think dumb and say, hey, I can't be saying that. Can't be saying that. You know, don't say that. Don't say that. Let's say this. Let's speak. Let's speak this. Let's speak that. There's things and areas in my life that I've trained myself so well in. As soon as something will happen in a certain area, I immediately start talking. My mouth will just get talking in the right direction. My mouth will just get over there and get going. Because over time I put that in me, and that's what's been in my abundance that's inside of me. That's what happened when I had my heart attack. That's what happened in me. The abundance that was in me produced fruit.
Thank you, Lord.
You don't get that from a prayer chain.
Amen, preach. Amen.
Good preaching. See, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now listen to what he says. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Where do they come? Where do your good things come from? Out of your mouth. Out of your heart. Come speaking them. Oh, well, I thought God just dropped some on you from heaven there. Yeah, that's where they fall. No. A lot of things you'll never have to pray about or ever ask God for. Because I want to tell you this. This is the highest level of faith. The highest level of faith, the highest level of healing is divine health. And you know how that's you get there? By what you say.
Amen.
How you talk about health. I don't ever pray about healing. Never pray about it. I never pray concerning my own health. Never. Why? Because I always speak concerning what my health's going to be. I always speak about it. Something comes, I don't pray about it. I just say, hey, this is what it is. Jesus already took mine for him. He already bore my sickness. I ain't praying for him. He already gave it to me.
Amen.
I ain't praying a lick. I don't have to come pray. I can produce it out of my mouth.
Amen.
I can produce the fruit of it. But what's in my heart, I believe and I say. Now, Actually, I think scripture is something like seven different ways that you could receive from God, receive healing or whatever, seven different ways. But they're on different levels. But today is never taught the high level. We use confession as more of a way to just get something at the time or something like that. But that's not where it is. It's a lifestyle and a way you live. It's a tree. It's a tree that's always producing something good for you. That's what you want to be. You want to be the tree that's always producing good for you. Everybody else might not be trying to produce good for you. But you're producing for you fruit that produces for your blessing and even the blessings of other people. You're producing it all the time. Where it's the things you're saying, you're not trying to pray to get it. You're not trying to understand what I'm saying. See, Jesus is talking here about this word. Whether you understand, this is a powerful message today. This is a powerful message. He's understanding this. And it's not taught in its power. They've used these scriptures to teach a lot of different stuff from. But we're reading it in its context. It's what it's about. Jesus is telling us about this word thing and how these guys got messed up in their word thing. And they're producing evil. And he's over here producing good. And he's saying, you can do the same thing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You get your mouth straight. Get yourself straightened out. So a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, he brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. See, if you have stuff in you that's evil and you're sitting around talking, you know, this is one of the things, and I just want you to get this. This is the trouble we have today. You know, we got, conservative and liberal. And both sides are evil in a lot of ways. And it's from this standpoint. They keep talking and harping about the problems. They use their voice to produce division. They're using their voice. I don't care how bad the Democrats do. I don't have to run around and talk about it all day. You're not going to do that stuff. And you're not going to listen to that junk and put that stuff and get it in you and turn around and produce a strong faith.
Amen.
Let me just say this to you. You show me in the scriptures where Jesus ran around and always complaining about the government of his time. He didn't preach it. He never said, freedom to vote is, that's the freedom God gave me. And we need to have an election. We do. The Apostle Paul. I mean, that idiot's in jail in Rome and he writes a letter to the Roman people and tells them, pray for the guys that are in authority. Pay taxes to whom taxes is due. Woo! And we play this godly America junk. Well, we criticize and run down everything. started a revolutionary war over taxes. Well, you do it for a good reason. We're unfair tax. I'm going to kill you. See, I know, I'll tell you what, loads of the conservative Christians would never want to listen to me preach. Because the Constitution is their Bible. That's their Bible. I'm sorry. You can't get over that thing because, evil things get in you. When you get into hatred and stuff and other people and they become a target for you, you're going to start saying things and doing things that are going to destroy your faith and you're going to start producing in your life. You're going to get down the road and 5 years later end up with a problem. Say, how'd that happen? I've been trusting the Lord. Your mouth was producing things. That down the road, the devil can come knocking on your door. This is good preaching, folks. We need to understand this stuff. The curse don't come without a cause, the scripture says.
Amen.
Sickness and all this stuff and poverty is under the curse. Amen. Well, then there's cause. So let's get it. Now we can sit here today and say, oh man, I've messed up. Well, raise your hand if you didn't. I want to meet the person that didn't because it's going to be an altar call for liars. Get you saved today. We don't want you going to hell.
Amen.
We've all messed up. What is this? We need to see the severity of these things, but we need to look over at the blessing of doing right. What draws you to it? Is when you look at it and say, okay, I messed up, or my God, I can get this thing straight and blessed.
That's right. Amen.
You know what the average person does? Oh, poor old me, I've been messing up, and I just... That's the person who knows very little about spirituality. And the church is full of them. And the Spirit-filled people are full of them. You say something, it hurts their little feelings. They don't look at the side of them and say, hey, my God, if I get this straight, I can follow God. No, they get over poor Pat me. The preacher
great
said,
preacher.
He hurt me
great
when he said, he told me, he preached, and I'm an idiot. Yes, you're right. You said it. You said it. I agree with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To agree is by touching anything they ask. It shall be done, you idiot. We need to get this stuff. But see, look at the side and say, hey, I can see. I want to know where I messed up. I want to know what I can do to improve this thing.
Amen.
See, when Jesus went before Pilate, and Pilate said, you know, they say, you know, you're a king and that stuff. And he told him straight out, it isn't about being a king in this earth. This is what I have a kingdom, my own kingdom. The church and so-called new service, they're more tied to the kingdoms of this earth. That's all they're tied to. Can't run in this. How can we run this earth? How can we run everybody down here and we can do it? And we can run the government and we can do all this. Jesus' success was walking into the light of his kingdom. His success for mankind wasn't trying to figure it all out down here. We don't have the apostles going out and preaching about the government, about how bad Rome was. Rome killed them. And they still didn't write a bunch of bad news about them. You know, and today we have this idea, and it's in full in the church. It's called conservatism in the church, which is not godly. It's always talking the troubles. It's not. We're talking about all the problems. We got to do this and we got to go do that to change it. You got to get out there and vote because we can't get the right people in office. Well, voting really worked great. When you have all jerks running for office, how do you vote a good one in? I'll tell you what. I vote Jesus in. I want Jesus in. But see, this speaking stuff is so important. It is so of what we're doing and saying. See, when God dealt with me with my speech, God rebuked me about the fact that I've told the story numbers of times when I would pray for Bill Clinton when he was president. And because back at that time, there was all this fussing was going on, but it's nothing like today. I mean, today, I thought that was bad back then. This stuff today they're doing, I mean, it's just absolute insanity. I mean, they're just, both sides are doing everything again to destroy everything, turn around their tunnels, trying to do us good. I just say, pure Lord, don't let them do any more good to me. Please, God, don't let them do any more good. I don't want them to do any more good for me. I can't stand anymore. But I'd pray for Bill Clinton. Because they had this great division between the Republicans and the Democrats, and they're fussing back and forth, his impeachment, all this kind of stuff went on. Anyhow. But I'd pray for him. And one day, just out of the real clear, you know, blue, you know, Spirit of the Lord just rises up in me, and inside of me a voice said, don't do you any good to pray for him. Well, I just hurt my feelings, you know, poor old Ed. Don't do any good to pray. I'm just going to tell you, the average Christian today who's praying for the government ain't doing a bit of good. Ain't doing no good. We can't be listening to all this junk. We can't be producing all this junk out of our mouth. And see, I couldn't produce nothing by my prayer because he said, you pray for him, then you run around criticizing him and saying stuff about him and things. Like I ain't doing nothing. You ain't doing any good praying if you run around criticizing him all the time.
Great preaching.
You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. He told me, you pray and ask me to do something, then you act like I ain't doing nothing. See, faith would say this, Lord, I'm asking you to help the president. I want to thank you that you're helping him. No, he ain't helped. Look at him. He's done all this dumb stuff, and he's doing all this stuff. You know, I'm Mr. Spiritual. You know, I know. I just, you know, I'm just telling the truth. Well, I had to examine all that. That's what I was doing. I wasn't praying by faith. I didn't believe God was doing a thing. Because you know why? The fruit of my mouth was saying I didn't believe God was moving. I don't care what I say when I prayed. Then afterwards, I would criticize like God wasn't moving on the guy. I would look at what I saw and say, what I see is more important than what I thought God would do. See, I believe the church ought to be a little bit more silent about government, not get more deeply involved. Our deep involvement is killing America because it's destroying our faith in God. Oh, we got to get this person out. If we don't get this person in, we're just going to, you know, everything's going to go the way it was and everything's going to do this and everything's going to do that. I'm sorry. Are conservative people more righteous because they're conservatives? Will they lie less? Well, most conservatives believe that. Most conservatives believe, most Christians believe that, you know, if you're conservative, you even say you're a Christian, you're a better person. Man, I've seen Christians that were more hellion than some of the world. We talk about a walk of faith, but actually we live by sight. And by doing this, we make voice, and our voice puts out bad fruit. I like what Jesus said. Either make the tree good and its fruit, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. In other words, we determine what kind of tree we are. We make it good or make it bad. Amen. See, I could be a Christian and become a bad tree. Mm-hmm. I've done it. Amen. Had fruit on there. Shouldn't have been on there. Fruit that should not have been around, but I had it on there. Fruit going on. Well, Jesus went on, verse 36, he said, but I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account for in the day of judgment. I mean, what a powerful thing. Man, God must have some file cabinets full of words. Listen to this. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Your words either put you over or put you under. Your words. Not somebody else. Not the government. Not Biden. Not the Democratic Party. Not the Republican Party. Your words put you over or put you under. You're either justified by your words or you're not. Your words can condemn you. The word, your own words. So we need to understand. See, that when we put this into context, see, this is Jesus was dealing with these guys back here, these religious boys and their words. Well, are we the religious boys? We need to be careful of this. You can easily become the religious boys if you don't watch yourself. We need to do this. Well, just right, you know, we're really good, and these other people out here say, well, you know, these Democrats are all evil. And then I hear these conservatives, you know, they classify them. You got to be very careful. You classifying people of what they are. And I mean, look how many weird Republicans we've had got caught for stealing, doing all kinds of stuff and doing things. Loads of them. Right of both sides. See, we throw one side, you know, this evil party over here. They're evil, and that's the devil's party, and the Republican Party's God's party. Hey, there's people out here talk this nonsense. They talk this. And you know what? They say, we're Christians. I don't know what Jesus say, God. I ain't got that Jesus. Because evil and good is based on political parties. And we need to be careful. It's just like with churches. I mean, we have the churches in the book of Revelation, in the second and third chapters. Now, some of the churches were really messed up. I mean, you know, sexual immorality and all that stuff being taught in the church and everything. But the Lord said, there's some in the church that don't go along with that. In other words, there was good people in there. There were people who were right, were still in that ugly church. But they're okay. They didn't go along with it. So you need to understand, you might just look out here, we might see things and people in there and places all messed up. Don't mean everybody is. Don't mean every. You don't throw everybody classification. So we need to be very careful about these things and what we do, because what happened? What are we producing with our mouths? What are we throwing out there and saying to people? Just in closing, James, the third chapter. This is what James said. See, I like James because James just puts right where it is, just tells in. I like James. He just tells in. Get in line, boy. James in the third chapter. Now understand this. See, I like to see James was the head of the church in Jerusalem. Peter was not. Scripture's clear on it. Read the book of Acts. James was the head of the church. When they wanted final decision, they went to James. They didn't go to Peter. They went to James. He was the head of the church. I can understand why he was. Peter out there turned around, you know, and turned around and started acting under the law again, wouldn't hang out with the Gentiles because he wanted to keep the rest of the Jews happy. Hallelujah. I wonder what James would have said to him. He'd have skinned him. James 3rd chapter, verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Well, that's another way of putting what Jesus said over there about the fruit of a tree. You can't have both. It's going to affect it all. This is why some people don't relate the fact that they're over here, they believe right concerning healing, and over here they're doing stuff over here, and that fruit out of the same tree affects the whole thing. And they'll say, I don't understand why. I'm believing and this don't work. Well, how's the rest of it? What else are you saying? Check what you're saying. Check what you've been talking and saying and things. Check what you're doing. What is needless, because certain things are true from a natural perspective, don't mean you need to go around blabbing it. You be careful. Number one, people might find out true about you and you don't want them blabbing it. But you're going to reap what you sow. See, we need to get ourselves over in this area concerning the power. Jesus just taught us the power of words, of what they'll do. The power of words. They justify us. They condemn us. See, the fruit tree. Make the tree good. You know, I'm just going to tell you, it takes work. You know, we're around so many things all the time. It's easy just to say, you know, something, just to throw it out there sometimes and just to say. But you got to be careful. Don't let those things get in your heart. The words that you speak, in other words, your own words have more influence over your heart than any other words. I don't care what I say. I know that that's true because I've had people sit and listen to my teaching, yet it never had effect on them. Didn't have effect on them. But I want to tell you what, their life was full of their words and their beliefs. It was full of them because they talked them and put them into themselves. That's what they put theirs into. This is why you want to be very careful in this area about this. You need to guard your heart, especially in this day and age, because I tell you, man, there's so much stuff. Amen. There's so much negative. There's so much stuff. There's so much. When you're in this time of bad going on, you know, it's easy to want to get over and talk about it. It's easy getting over. You know, there's things that stress me. You know, I sit down sometimes. I just got to get up and walk away from stuff. I just got to. Man, you get the point. I want to choke somebody. No, I got to get away from this thing. I got to get over. You got to get away. People ain't got enough sense. People love to fight. They love to stay in. They love to have the arguments. They love to get in the stuff. They love to talk this political junk, you know, and sitting around and talking. You know, we're going to sit down and have these family get-togethers, and they say, you know, don't talk politics. Well, they're dumb families to begin with if they were. They're stupid talking politics. What does it matter? It don't matter. I learned this. I have relatives that are dumb as a stick, and I don't talk to when they get together about what a stupid idiot they are. I smile, talk to them, and nice things to them, and that kind of stuff. I have enough sense. If you're going to have a get-together, what do you want to have an argument for? Amen. They say something dumb, I don't join in. They say something, I've learned to keep my mouth shut.
Amen.
There's a time things to be said, and a time things not things to be said. But people don't know, they're going to tear everything up because I'm right. My name is Pharisee. And I got to say, I got to get my Pharisee out there, you know. Oh, come on, been there, done that. But I learned. There's the things that like that. There's times that you don't. That is just not the time to be doing that. And if you don't have that wisdom, you ain't listening to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Preach.
Amen. That's right.
When's the Spirit talking, and you ain't supposed to be. It's one of the things that you just got to know. You know, there's a family member, you know, that I haven't seen a whole lot, but the door's open to me to be able to minister some things. But I realize this and that stuff. You're just not going to run in dead cold and throw all your Christianity junk out. It ain't going to work. I learned. You know one thing I want to know? I do love them. And then now they know that. They know I really love them and I care for them. Well, see, you got to get people to figure out that you're not telling them things because you're just irritated at them.
Amen.
And you don't like their belief. They got to know. And see, it's one thing is I know I'm going to show them I love them. You know, they think they're spiritually right. But I know this, they ain't even saved. They think they're, and I know this, I know they're not. But you know what? I ain't going to reach and run them down.
Amen.
You just got to love them.
Amen.
I found out around family members, you got to really be really delicate. Different than you do lots of times with people on the outside sometimes, you know, because I ain't got to live with you. It's like, I can tell you, if you go away, that's fine. Sometimes dealing with them, don't mean I go along with them and what they want to do or things. I don't do that, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll tell people, you know, I can't do this or I don't do that. That's just
Amen.
It. But one thing is I want them to know that I love them, that they can, that you can reach to them on something. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times people need to be told. You know what? I will tell a Christian quicker than I will an unsaved person. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you don't want anybody ever say anything to you.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
And just keep your mouth shut about the Christian thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Amen.
Paul says, if you call God calls himself a Christian, when they call themselves a Christian, he said, if they're immoral, don't even as much as eat with them.
Amen.
He didn't say, well, just love them and I'll just pat them a little bit. Oh, I know this stuff gets over. But see, this one thing is we got to learn this is number one, being led by the Spirit of God. You have the most wonderful thing that they didn't have in their time there. They didn't have the Spirit living in them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We do.
Amen.
We do. And the Holy Spirit once takes what belonged to Jesus, he wants to reveal it to people. That's what he wants to do. And
Amen.
He wants to do for you. He wants to reveal those things to you. We're going to have to seek God. We need to understand the importance of the Word. We need revelation, not just speaking by knowledge. You know, it's okay to speak by knowledge, we can, but it's good to speak by revelation so people see and understand. That's one of the things that I've really spent my time is in the areas because I really want to know what God's saying. And not just so I can get up and teach you something. I want to know something. My desire to know. Hallelujah. I want to know. You know, it's one of the things, and I'm just encouraging this concerning, is take your time. Guard yourself concerning speech in the areas of what you say. What do you want to get inside of you? What do you want to put in? What are you saying? Church here on Sunday, you remember, you got 6 other days you're feeding you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what I put in you here. You're going to follow what you're doing the other 6.
Amen.
I don't care what I say.
Amen. Preach.
You're going to follow what you say the rest of the time. This is why, as you learn to speak the things, the areas that you have difficulty in need to become the areas of your speech as to saying the right things about it.
Amen.
There's areas and stuff you might say, well, I'll tell you, yeah, but I say that, but it don't seem like it. Well, you can't. Nothing changes overnight.
Amen.
You're going to have to get yourself to, after a while, you said it so many times, you can't see it any other way. There's things in me I cannot see. And you'll never convince me of anything else.
Thank
why? Because I've said the word so many times, I'm just sold on it. You can go out on all whatever you want to do. You know, it don't make any difference because over time, God didn't put, see, people say, well, God put this in me. God didn't put it in me. He gave me the revelation and I turned around and enforced that. It became real to me because of what I did, not what God did. God gave me the revelation, but that revelation would never became strong without me.
Amen.
It became strong in my belief. You know, we got over in the areas concerning giving. My wife and I, we talked it so much. We did it among ourselves with each other. We've said things and so much over time where after a while, money just, it isn't, it's something that's, hey, money is a tool in a toolbox.
Amen.
It's like a hammer and a screwdriver. They're used for different things. Money ain't the top of nothing.
Amen.
In fact, money can be your worst problem in your life.
Amen. Preach.
And it is today. Money is the worst problem of our nation, of any problem. It's the root of all evil.
Amen.
All the evil that goes on because of the love of money.
Mm-hmm.
Many Christians have that problem. They're saying the right things about money, but their motive's wrong because they love money. The money is their object. You can't have that. Money can't be the object. Love got to be the object of everything. When the Lord told me years ago, He said, motive is everything. And it is. Why? Why do you want to be healed? So you can just keep living self-centered, selfish life, just follow after whatever you want to do. And you want to follow the will of God? No, I want to be healed so I can just go on vacation a lot. I want to be well so I can go do this and I can travel here and I can travel there. Well, that's nothing wrong with travel. I like to travel. But I'm going to tell you what, I can't make that my motive for wanting to be well.
Amen.
See, people want a lot of stuff and it's selfish, self-centered. Amen. I want a good life. The heck with yours. Who cares if yours is any good? I want a good one. No, I want people to have a good life.
Amen.
God has it planned.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You,
and He ain't shortchanged that I can have a good one and He can't afford to give you one.
Amen.
He can afford to give us all a good life. Anybody that wants one will do what's right to get it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to go on to teach in these areas. We're going to talk about the mind and things like that. People don't get over into some of these areas because we deal with healing from the standpoint of, we most look like from the standpoint of divine healing. Many people don't need for divine healing from the standpoint. They don't need a healing from God. They need to get their mind working right. Mm-hmm. There's some people, if they get their thoughts right, their body will start getting into line because their body is all messed up because they're all messed up in their thinking and their body won't work right.
Amen.
Jesus, James said this. I love this James guy. James said, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body.
Amen.
A lot of people, I just want to say this. About, it must be almost 20 years ago. I read an article one time about a study that was done. And this study said that they found out, they came up, said that 70% of people that were in the hospital for some kind of disease, something or whatever, they were psychosomatic reasons why that was working in their body. Had to do with their mind. Their mind. 70%. Well, that came out and it was criticized. No, that was it. Well, here just a few years ago, they did a redo on that study, some other people. And so these other people had a little bit bigger name, so they couldn't criticize them. And they found out the same thing. Did you ever think about that? People end up in the hospital. Psychosomatic reasons. Mm-hmm. If you get things straight, their body would straighten out. This is why, from the standpoint, sometimes psychiatry can do certain things to people because get them overthinking right about stuff. We need to understand this. If you're not thinking right, your body is going to react according to what your how you think, what you talk about. Your body's going to respond to that. People, too many people, their own body. See, we listen today. Well, as you get older, your immune system don't work as well. See, we listen to that stuff. You listen and put it in you. That gets in your mind and you're thinking. After a while, you start having medical problems. I'm getting older, but it ain't work as well. Who said? Well, God the doctor said. But see, you put that in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You put that in your mind. You let them tell you that as you get older, you got to get some, become a flunky idiot. Your brain ain't going to work. You ain't going to be able to think no more. Mm. You ain't going to be able to remember anymore. Oh, we're getting older now. I can't think anymore. Back in the 1980s, Alzheimer's started to become a thing. Do you know up until that time, there was no Alzheimer's? Did they ever tell you that? I got over praying about one day about this thing, about why things happen. And the Lord said, why things happen? He said, and the Lord spoke to me about Alzheimer's. He said, Alzheimer's was created by humans. I thought, well, what do you mean it was created by us? He said, well, they talked it into existence. He said, they won't shut up about it. They just keep talking. People can't think. And he said, they keep talking, and they keep talking, and they keep talking, and they keep saying it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Jesus said, what did Jesus say? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose. I wonder if he's just lying about that. Christianity don't believe Jesus at all. And then turn around and call it Christianity. We have talked things into existence.
Amen.
We talk disease. We saw things dominate. They rule because we don't rip the power of our mouth.
Mm-hmm. Great preaching.
You know what? You can't talk about this thing to a lot of faith people because you get over into those areas about the mind and they wonder, oh, no, no, we're all going to be spiritual. Woo-hoo-hoo. And then they're called yes and to pray for them because they're sick.
Mm.
So you're sick because your mind's sick.
Mm-hmm.
And who made your mind sick? Mm-hmm. See, you want to hear the truth. Not what's going around. Not what's happening. Not what you can see.
Praise God.
That's not what you want to talk. They've already proved this in study with people who have problems with memory and that stuff. They said people who are mostly on the positive side, talk right, say right, they don't have as much problem with that in areas. I mean, some scientists' study proves it. Their own studies prove it. Why? How can you talk negative and produce good fruit? How can you be talking the wrong way all the time and produce good? You can't. People who speak wrong, medical science has found this out. People who are negative all the time, medications don't work for them that normally work for people, other people. Their immune system won't respond to it. It's all how people think.
Amen.
And they got thinking that because they won't shut up.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
Saying wrong stuff. See, don't speak against yourself. Why do we want to preach bad at us? Like I say, you got to be your own best cheerleader. Ain't somebody else going to be out there to do it. You better learn to say good things.
Amen.
You never speak about your health. See, we're going to look into some of this stuff and look at Scripture and things about people. We need to understand there's more to this than what, you know, that lots of times people want to preach and talk about. And I know this just hair-lip a bunch of people out here, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to tell you this straight. There's going to be people out here going to be loved to hear what's being said. They're going to love to finally hear it.
Amen.
They're going to love to find out what the truth is about things.
Amen.
And not people's religious ideas about things.
Amen.
Our religious ideas hasn't changed people's lives.
Amen.
It's like I told a minister one time, he said about the devil healing. And I said, if the devil will heal me and God won't, I'll go with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I said, my daddy won't heal me, but my enemy will.
Mm.
Don't sound like he's my daddy. Hallelujah. We just got to get blunt about some things, folks. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. There's so much could be said around this subject, and we'll go on to it and teaching these. But I'll tell you what, big thing is I want you helped. I want you to know how, I want you to produce in your life wonderful fruit. And I didn't get this, and I want you to do it because I'm so wonderful. God's so wonderful.
Amen.
It's His message to you. Doesn't matter what's happened or what has going on, you can turn that thing around. You can begin in your own life to bring blessing into your life, to be able to speak in the areas. Get yourself, find out what God said about it, start saying it concerning yourself. Put it down here. I can just tell you this is a downright fact. There are sinners who have more blessed lives than saints do because of their mouth. They won't talk the junk that Christians will talk. They'll talk right stuff. They'll say things. You know what? You'll never. One thing is they found out. I like to read after some of these studies they did. They did about people, millionaires. They said most people are millionaires. If they lose their money within a period of time, they'll be back and be millionaires again. And you know why? It's what they believe and say. They don't ever talk about being poor. They don't ever talk about not having enough. They don't ever talk about let's get another government handout. They don't ever.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's what they do. See, it's what they believe and they say. And then they follow it. It turns around. Time after time. People can't make it. They'll complain about the billionaire. Well, would you do what he does to become a billionaire? Heck no. I want it to fall on me. I want to keep doing my dumb and be the billionaire. I keep wanting to follow what I believe. It ain't working. But I want to follow it and end up on the top. Hallelujah. Money ain't a place to arrive.
Amen.
It's not. Money follows me. It don't run in front of me.
Amen.
I never see Thank money in front Lord. Of me. I never chase money. I don't need to. Money chase me.
Hallelujah.
But I will never chase it. I will never chase money. I will never chase money. Hallelujah. I'd rather, if God said you have a choice of health or money, I said, I'll take health. Well, I'll end up with money. I'm well enough to work. I can go to work.
Amen.
I'll make money.
Amen.
Give me a choice. I'll take health.
Amen.
Glory to God. Get your thinking straight. Get your thinking. Start talking. I'll tell you, be the tree of blessing to your life and to others.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say thank you today. Father, I'm just so glad you're so gracious and kind to us. Lord God, to show us and to teach us, Lord God. To show us, Lord God. Lord, you're just such a wonderful blesser. You're just so good. You are good and your mercy does endure forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Lord God, it sure seems as mankind is going on by themselves, we'd look and say, we'd just quit on them. But Lord God, you don't quit. You just keep wanting to bless people. You keep wanting to do. And I just say thank you so much for your kindness to us, Lord God. Thank you for revealing yourself, Lord God. Lord, in a simplicity that anybody can understand and walk in, that anyone can do it. Hallelujah. Such a simple thing. How could such a simple thing as just changing what we say, how such a simple thing would revolutionize lives? Hallelujah. But Lord God, it's the truth. And the truth is what makes us free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I just say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for being so kind to enlighten to the truth. And I pray today, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that there's a driving hunger within each one today, Lord God, to seek you. Hallelujah. Because if you seek, you'll find. If they knock, it's going to be open to them, Lord God. That everyone who asks receives. No one would ask and you wouldn't reveal to them. It'll never happen. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're never going to lie on you about that. Say, I ask and you never told me. No, Lord, that would never happen. You said, Jesus, you said that if we ask, we'd receive. If we knock, we'd find. It would be open to us. And I want to thank you. Holy Spirit, you're in us. Opening up and enlightening us, hallelujah,
amen.
Giving us wisdom and understanding, light on the Word of God that we can see the truth of the kingdom of God,
amen.
To live and walk in that kingdom and not the kingdoms of men. It's not speaking of the kingdoms of men and what they're doing, hallelujah, but speak of your kingdom and the glory that you're revealing in it. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God. Lord God, I just thank you, Lord God, that we're a people that you redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're not a cursed people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're blessed coming in. We're blessed going out. We're the head. We're not the tail. We're above. We're not below. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. God is in the Psalms, the 91st Psalm. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're in the strong tower. Lord God, we're in your tower, Father God. Sickness and disease is far from us. Hallelujah. I just want to thank you. It don't come nigh our dwellings. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we're just going to speak the truth. Hallelujah. And the truth will work. It will work. Hallelujah. And we will not stop talking the truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. So we thank you, Father, as we go out of here today. Father, we go out of here sound today.
Amen.
Full of wisdom and understanding, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're on the top, not the bottom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, I want to thank you. The words that we speak concerning your word. I thank you, Lord God, they're bringing fruit into our life, producing for us, Lord God, a glorious future. Hallelujah. Not just for us, but for others.
Amen.
And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.